He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It is 9-9-2020 today, and we have a better day going on in the market today, thankfully, after one of the steepest, sharpest, fastest sell-offs in the NASDAQ in history. I think I could point to about 10 stocks that were the reason behind it all. We'll get to that in a bit. Right now we've got NASDAQ up 207 points. That's 1.9%. Of course, we were down 4.5% yesterday. Who's counting? The NASDAQ is back above 11,000. It's at 11,051. The S&P 500 up 57 points, 3389. That's a 1.7% move this morning. Dow 30 up 430. Wow, that sounds good. Dow 30 up 430 at 27,930. 30, your lotto numbers of the day. It's up 1.6%. Russell 2000 up 1%, lagging the other indexes are those small caps. Crude oil up 63 cents. It got whacked yesterday, up 63 cents today, 37.39. Gold seeing a little buying today, hovering, getting closer to 2,000 again. It's up $9.80 per ounce at 19.53. Silver up 8 cents to $27.08. And the bond market is... Is it closed today? It's very, very quiet. I see no change in the bond market right now, with the 10-year yield right now trading at 0.68%. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I spent a long day yesterday in the market looking at everything that I own and everything I might want to own and everything I might not want to own. It was a long day yesterday. I made a lot of observations about what I observed yesterday, and I will give you my observations here today. For better or for worse, you can take it or leave it, but we'll see what happened yesterday. I think we can learn a lot from yesterday's market. Okay, we're getting that bounce in the market today. The NASDAQ tumbled again yesterday. It was down 4.5%. Energy stocks got hammered yesterday on the drop in crude. You had the NASDAQ off 4.1% yesterday, down more than 1,200 points since its September 2nd high. Okay. That's 1 week. That's five trading days, equaling a 10% correction. And once again, you know, if I were to just point to two stocks, it would be Tesla and Apple. Remember all that hoopla about the stock splits? And I said, you know what? There's nothing to a stock split. It's a non-event from my experience. For people to be buying stock splits, that's reminiscent of the year 2000. I remember someone had a stock split newsletter that would alert you when there was going to be a stock split. Oh boy, we got to buy those stock splits. Well, you know what? Those stock splits kind of marked the top in Apple and Tesla. Tesla had gone to extreme altitudes as it relates to valuation. Apple was at very high valuation numbers. And it's kind of those two stocks that I would say that have kind of led the NASDAQ downwards. But there was also a lot of speculation in the work-from-home stocks, the Zoom videos, the CrowdStrikes, the Pelotons on WeWork, or Slack, on and on and on. And those stocks were being bought like there was no tomorrow. And I kept saying, warning, there is a tomorrow. Valuation does matter. Valuation does count. And the day I saw the NASDAQ, that was last Wednesday, a week ago today, when I saw it go above 12,000 intraday to 12,050, I pretty much said to my subscribers, I said, you know what? I think you've seen a top for now in the NASDAQ. Now, here we are a week later, down 1,000 points from that top. Where do we go from here? I would say you still have to take it a stock at a time. I compared two stocks yesterday. I said, look at the forward PE and the PEG ratio and the PE of this one. And here's another NASDAQ stock which has a very reasonable forward PE, PEG ratio, and PE ratio. It's a tale of two stocks. One is still very inexpensive, and one is ultra-expensive. Which one do you want to own? You know, all the attention, the tension really shifted. The market goes back and forth between fear and greed, and of course greed has taken hold here over the last month or so, and just an unbelievable run-up, which I told you, this has been one of the most crazy run-ups I've ever seen in the NASDAQ. I got to go back to the year 2000 to find an equivalent. Not only does the market go back and forth between fear and greed, it also goes back and forth between value and momentum. And there's times in the market, I saw it in 1999, early 2000, when valuation just goes out the window. It just goes out the window with mostly the retail investors and the FOMO crowd, the fear of missing out crowd. I guess today they're lurking in the Robinhood app, chasing stocks for fear of missing out. And valuation went out the window. I got to believe that most of the retail investors today that are buying stocks on Robinhood have very little knowledge, if any, of valuations and the history of valuations and how valuations do matter. You know, I would love to talk to one of them that was buying these extreme valuations and say, would you buy a little pizza shop downtown? Would you pay 100 times sales for that pizza shop? Would you pay 100 times earnings? Do you know what kind of return on investment that is? Do you know how many years it would take just to get your investment back? I mean, you can't pay ridiculous multiples for private companies, and you can't pay ridiculous multiples for publicly traded companies. And now you've got the market switching away from greed. You saw some fear definitely come into the market the last five trading days. And you've also seen the momentum come out of the market, and people are starting, at least I hope they are, starting to look at valuations a little bit more. Well, I always have valuations that I'm looking at, and I could see the extremes, not in the entire market. Someone said, do you think the NASDAQ's going to go down another 10%? I said, no. I think there's stocks out there in the NASDAQ that are going to go down another 10%. It depends on the stock. Some are still quite cheap, and others still quite expensive. Tesla yesterday saw the biggest one-day loss in the entire, put down 21% yesterday. That was the biggest one-day percentage drop as it continued to chip away at the gains it made after it announced its stock split. Really? I mean, you announce a stock split and the stock goes on a 30% run? That's just absolute insanity. Well, okay. People starting to pay attention to valuation now. Tesla down 21% yesterday. Tesla topped the previous record of a 19.3% drop back on January the 13th, 2012. You got to go back 8 years for the last time Tesla went down a big percentage like that, after it announced two executive departures ahead of the selling debut of the Model S. The stock bounced back 17% the next day. Well, I don't think Tesla's going to bounce back 21% today. Let's just take a look at where it is right now. Tesla's back 6%. I will say this about the chart of Tesla. Tesla hit its 50-day moving average yesterday, and it is bouncing off of there. And the P.E. has been taken clear down to 223. 223 is where the P.E. ratio is on Tesla. I do not own Tesla at this point in time. Apple was the other one. Apple had a huge drop-off after what? Its stock split. Well, you know what? The reason for that is because they ran the stock up when it announced its stock split. There was no business in running, no reason for running a stock up in front of a stock split. The valuation was already high. People thinking that a stock split was a good thing took it higher. And then you've had a lot of air come out of the tires of Apple. Apple is recovering today some 3.6%. But there were your two biggest reasons for the swift kick in the pants by the QQQs. Where do we go from here? Depends upon the stock. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Dow or NASDAQ up 203. Right now, Dow up 461. So we're getting some relief from this 4 or 5 day sell-off that, you know what, you just have to endure it from time to time in the market. I wish there was a way around it, unless you want to be buying and selling constantly. Those kind of people usually don't make much progress over time when they're making those big decisions. Sell everything. Buy. Sell everything. Back and forth and back and forth. I say the market's made up of a lot of little decisions as opposed to those big macro calls that people trade on. They sell everything and then they can't wait to get back in. They follow the fear-greed cycle, which is a losing strategy because it's based on emotion. You have to take the emotion out of the equation. Sometimes you have to get someone between you and the trigger finger who does take emotion out of the equation. I still have a few clients that override what I'm doing and go around me and make their own decisions from time to time. And you know what? I can tell they're very emotional decisions that they're making. They're not based on technical analysis, fundamental analysis, any of that. It's based on emotion. Let's just take a quick look here. There's some really good stories in the market here today that I want to give you an update on. But let's just take a quick look at the major averages here, okay? As I look today at the Dow, the technicals of the Dow, all right? This is a big part of the equation. It helps me fine-tune. It helps me make those small decisions. The Dow is still well above its 50-day moving average. I have a line, a support line, drawn at 27,500. The Dow came down to that line yesterday. It held that line and now is bouncing hard off of that line. Support levels and resistant levels are very important. I always, on everything, indexes, stocks I'm looking at, I always have a support line drawn. That's kind of a line in the sand. And I have a resistance line drawn. That's a ceiling. That's going to be where a stock or an index bumps its head, and you got to be on guard as to whether or not it can get through those resistance levels. Right now we're looking at support levels. Dow holding its support level at 27,500. The NASDAQ, believe it or not, two days in a row, Friday and yesterday, came down to its 50-day moving average. I sent that alert out to my subscribers. I said, look, the NASDAQ has tested its 50-day moving average now 2 days in a row, and both times it's held. Okay, and today you're bouncing off the 50-day moving average. It's important to know where those moving averages are because they do matter. All right, S&P 500, it also came very close to its 50-day moving average yesterday, bouncing off of it. I have the support level for the S&P drawn at 33.35. We held that yesterday. We're bouncing off of that today. Very important. I would say the weakest looking chart right now, which has probably some kind of chance of breaking its support level, would be the small cap index. We'll keep our eye on that. I would say the high risk, risk on, biotech, small caps, Bitcoin, that's the kind of stuff that is still very, very wobbly right now. Okay, the stories. Apple and Epic Games, that's a big one. That's going to set some kind of a precedent. I think Apple has the upper hand there. It's going to be pretty hard for Epic Games, which makes Fortnite, to argue that they can go around Apple's rules when they've agreed to Apple's rules and sell things within their app that's on the iOS store and not share those revenues with Apple. So Apple is counter-suing Epic, and Epic is suing Apple. There will be a decision at some point in time, but I think Apple will win this battle. And in the middle is Tencent Holdings, TCEHY, which I do own, and I do have a line in the sand. I looked at that stock yesterday. I drew a line, and I put a note to myself how to act, what to do if certain levels are violated. So we'll keep our eye on that. You know, look, it's not all of Tencent's business, but it's a little of Tencent's business. And Fortnite is one of the top games in the world. The other good story that I like a lot here is Nikola and GM. I talked about this yesterday. You know, the couple of stocks, actually, GM had a very good day also yesterday. GM was up over 10%. And Nikola was also up, like, by the end of the day, I think 45% or something like that. But I think GM, maybe, I'm taking a long look at GM. I still say there's a good chance that GM at some point down the road, not any time like in the next few weeks or months, will spin off. They seem to be putting all their efforts into lithium batteries, into electronic cars, etc. And I think there will come a point where GM spins off its electric vehicle division, which has a lot more sex appeal than, you know, just the standard trucks and combustible engine cars. Wall Street likes the long-term potential for General Motors and Nikola. Morgan Stanley calls the General Motors-Nikola partnership a win for both, joining several firms yesterday with a positive take on the big announcement between the two companies. And I also read this morning that GM is making some new breakthroughs in wireless battery technology. There is word out that GM's wireless battery management system is drawing notice in engineering circles. Okay, this would be a one-up on Tesla, possibly. Unlike today's battery modules, which link up to an onboard management system through a tangle of orange wiring. I hate wiring. You open up the hood and these wires are everywhere and you're trying to figure out which one is it that's causing the problem. GM system features RF antennas integrated on circuit boards. The antennas allow the transfer of data via a 2.4 gigahertz wireless protocol, similar to Bluetooth, but with lower power. Well, that onboard master can also talk through the cloud to GM. So take that, Elon Musk. We'll see. But I am watching. You know, GM also has a pretty good dividend yield. I think it's 4.8%. Let me just check on that. 4.7% after yesterday's move. So we're keeping our eye on GM here. We already own Nikola. That's a good story. It's a very good story. There's several more stories to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Back here to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We're up about 250 right now on the NASDAQ. Just summing up how I handled this last 7 days, that's all I did was sell some kind of dead wood. It was kind of a time to get rid of a few that hadn't gone anywhere, mostly out of the dividend and growth portfolio. And out of my active ultra growth portfolio, I sold a couple of really high flyers, but I kept them in the buy and hold side of the portfolio, and that's about all I did. I didn't add any hedges. I didn't do any massive selling. I put a line in the sand on everything I own, updated those lines on the sand, became very, very vigilant. And, you know, we just see where we go from here. We'll take it one stock at a time. Again, today I spend my 5-6 hours after the show looking at charts, looking at things that I own, looking at the current valuations on them and peg ratios and forward PEs, etc. And then I move to the next one. I make a lot of small decisions, which I think is a much more manageable and logical way, an unemotional way of managing money, instead of panicking and selling everything or then getting back in for fear of missing out. That's called amateur hour, in my opinion. All right, let's take a look here. Another stock that was on the move yesterday with the GM Nikola partnership, Workhorse, WKHS. They make a truck similar two. They're more in the delivery vans and whatnot, but they're a pretty big player in the electric trucks. They're doing right now about, their sales are just getting off the ground. Actually, you can go to their website, workhorse.com, and see the kind of delivery vans and whatnot that they are designing electric. That stock hit a new all-time high yesterday, and is starting to look like it's going to break out here. Workhorse has some ties to GM as well through the sale of its Lordstown plant. So we'll see. I keep my eye on Workhorse. I don't own Workhorse, but I'll keep my eye on it. We've also got, in the news today, we've got AstraZeneca. That's another story. You know what? It's not a big deal. They had to halt. They had to pause their trial. That's not necessarily a setback. That's a routine thing that happens in trials, clinical trials. If some person gets sick all of a sudden and there's no explanation for it, they have to pause the trial. AstraZeneca was down over 8% when the news first came out. The emotional people were running for the exits, and then when cooler heads prevailed, they said, you know what, I mean, this is just part of the process. And AstraZeneca is not reliant solely upon this vaccine. Other companies out there, the Modernas of the world Novavax and Dynavax, they're pretty much live or die by the vaccine results. AstraZeneca is a very profitable company with or without the vaccine. AstraZeneca was down 8% in the after hours. Now it's down just 1%. But I would just say that also exposes the risk there is in developing a vaccine, especially as it relates to the time frame. You know, these companies have to follow protocol, and there's going to be a lot of interruptions for all of them. as this process continues. In other words, I would be very doubtful that we will have a vaccine in late October. You can see how just one person in a study like that at AstraZeneca shuts things down for a few days and puts things on hold. Well, the other vaccine developers, they rallied on the news, which is also kind of stupid. But there's a lot of stupidity in the market. Sanofi, Glaxo, Pfizer, BioNTech, Moderna, Dynavax. Oh, there's bad news out of AstraZeneca. We better buy the others. No, that makes no sense. Pfizer, BioNTech vaccine candidate shows encouraging action in preclinical trials. You know, they're the ones, really. It's been Pfizer's CEO that's been talking about the October possibility. He's the one that's kind of been leading that chit-chat. But they are announcing today preliminary results from preclinical studies of COVID-19 nucleoside-modified messenger RNA vaccine candidate. Write this down, BNT162B2. In a viral infection model, it seems to be working. But there's still a lot of work to be done. Tiffany's and LVMH, which is what, Louis Vuitton, MH Hennessy, who's M? Moet, I think, Moet. Say we're just going to be friends. There's not going to be a marriage there. They're suing each other, blah, blah, blah. Goes back and forth between the luxury brands. In the meantime, Pfizer and BioNTech to supply 200 million COVID-19 vaccine doses to the European Union. You know, I would just say it seems to have come down to AstraZeneca or Pfizer and possibly Moderna. It seems to be those three right now that are leading the charts. Disney faces heat for filming Mulan in China's Xinjiang province. Why is that a problem? Well, that's the province where China is accused of committing rights abuses against millions of Uyghur Muslims. So Disney taking on some heat there in a hurry to get Mulan out. And they did some filming in a highly controversial area of China. There's a big winner in the biotech arena today, ITCI. That one was not on my radar, but it is up 63%. It's the Nikola of the day. They soar 63% from phase 3 clinical trial evaluating lumateperone as an adjunctive therapy to lithium or valproate in the treatment of major depressive episodes associated with bipolar 1 or bipolar 2 disorder. That's a big one. I mean, that's a big, there's a lot of people affected by bipolar. And if ITCI can come up with something that helps those folks, that could be a very, very big breakthrough. It's a $2 billion company. It's up 63% right now, ITCI. I love to see these breakthroughs. I love to see these advances in medicine. Okay, let's see what else we have. Well, we got another one, Trillium. You know, I looked, that one wasn't in my app. It has been added to the app. It's up 36% today. It's a small one, $829 million out of Canada. They have encouraging data on their blood cancer candidate. So Trillium up, that's T-R-I-L, up 36.6%. Today. A lot of advances being made in the biotech arena. There's hundreds of small biotechs out there now, which obviously increases the chances of coming up with something. Okay, another one that I wanted to mention is a company out of Israel. A recent IPO, NNOX. You know, I always put those companies that are fresh IPOs on my watch list, and I watch them for several days. This one might be something. We'll see. NanoX Imaging. What do? They develop X-ray emitters designed to generate digital X-ray images. some kind of a small breakthrough there. This stock went public at 18 about 2 weeks ago. It's already $44. NNOX, they inked a distribution deal with SPI Medical for 630 NANOX systems in Mexico. That's a pretty big order. We'll keep our eye on that. Little update from the airlines. This is still not good. Alaska Air expects September cash burn of $150 million in 1 month. $150 million, poof, gone, vanished. Hawaiian Airlines expects Q3 capacity to be down 87% year over year. You mean you haven't planned a trip to Hawaii recently? 87% year over year. Okay, when we come back, I've got five candidates as my featured stock of the day. I better narrow it down. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
You got to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. In a nice, nice rally today. NASDAQ now up 277 points. So we're getting back a lot. You know, like I say, it was a couple of stocks, really. I could name other culprits, but really it was the two big split stocks and the big run-up by the stock CRM that was added to the Dow. All of that air was sitting there in those stocks, a lot of rarefied air, helium, let's call it, and had to come out of those stocks. And of course, usually what happens is when those high flyers come back to Earth, they bring a lot of the low flyers back to Earth. That creates opportunity in the low flyers, and at the same time, it causes panic and fear in those that are playing the pure momentum game, the helium game, I call it, with no emphasis on valuation whatsoever. You just can't do that. That's a dangerous game to play, and eventually it's going to come back to haunt you in a very quick, swift kick in the pants, like we've seen over the last 7 days in the NASDAQ, especially in those high flyers. PEG ratios do matter. Forward PEs do matter. PE ratios matter. All right, let's see. FedEx tracks higher. That stock looks pretty good right now. FedEx hitting new highs. Of course, they're on that receiving end. They're on the right side of the street delivering packages during COVID and all of this. That's just increased. A lot of people have learned how to order online, I'm sure, throughout all of this, and that's helping FedEx. Citron is bullish on Nautilus, with growth second only to Zoom. Okay, that caught my eye. Zoom has had unbelievable growth. Nautilus has been around for a long, long time, making gym equipment. Now that the gyms are closed down, you can't go to the gymnasium. I'm just looking at their latest quarter. Their earnings were up 270%, sales up 94%. Citron, known for for hyperbole on stocks, they're saying it's the second only to Zoom as far as growth. Target raised on Netflix. I still like Netflix. How is Netflix doing today? Not bad. It's up. It's up 0.6%. MasterCard sees improving trend in August. Yeah, I'm seeing things pick up a little bit here in my neighborhood at the restaurants and the shopping centers. Cuervo had a good earnings report yesterday. That's helping Qualcomm today. One of the culprits in the helium trade was Slack, which the symbol is work. It's coming back to Earth today. In fact, it's down 14.6%. After they missed. Another culprit in the helium trade was Coupa Software, COUP. It's coming back to Earth. In fact, it's breaking support today, down 6.6%. That's what happens when you have these high flyers. Okay, the one I'm choosing to feature is one I've written about several times. You can read our articles on Lululemon, on Seeking Alpha. Lululemon is down today after they beat earnings by 18 cents and they beat on revenue. Don't forget that Lululemon is going the route of Peloton, and you'll be able to have online virtual workouts. So it is kind of the same kind of play as Nautilus. It's the same kind of play as Peloton, but at the same time, it's a very, very popular brand with a very loyal following. It's one of only a few retail stocks right now that I would consider owning, and I still do own Lululemon, which has pulled back here today after their earnings report. They beat earnings, Bill. Why isn't it not up? Oh, well, it's all about their forward look. Peloton or Lululemon has pulled down back to its support level. It needs to hold that support level, obviously. It's actually broken its 50-day moving average, but it's sitting right on support at 320 today. Let's just take a look at Lulu in the Best Stocks Now app. It's been a big winner. It's a $45 billion company. I have a pretty decent upside target price on the stock. It's delivered some big, big alpha numbers over the years. And over the last 12 months, the stock is up 91%, while the market's up 12%. And over the last 5 years, it's delivered an average return of 47%, while the market's delivered 11%. It's ranked number 33 out of 5,332 stocks in my Best Stocks Now database. It's down 8.5%. It recently touched almost $400 per share. It's not one of those astronomically priced stocks. It's a rich stock because of the alpha that it's delivered and the alpha that a lot of people expect it to continue to deliver going forward. And if they can get these online classes and virtual classes going, subscription-based model, the stock can continue to grow. Now, the retail side of things has been hurt by COVID. People aren't running out to buy exercise clothes right now because they're not going to the stores. But they do have a pretty good online franchise. And Lulu currently ranked number 33. I personally would be a buyer of this stock at this level. Lulu, L-U-L-U, as it pulls back to its support level. I own it in the ultra growth portfolio. It's only a 4% overall position in that portfolio. You never want to have too much in any one stock. All right, well, we covered a lot today, a lot of stories. I'm going to have a lot of fun today going through the charts, and if I see anything to my subscribers, I'll send out a notification. Who knows? I may be buying some things today. I may be selling some things today. It just depends as we look through them one at a time. Okay, if you'd like to set up an appointment with one of my advisors, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. And, of course, I'd want to know, well, how have you guys done anyways? Well, you know what? I'm very transparent. I publish a weekly newsletter with the results of all the portfolios right there in it. That goes out to my clients. It goes out to my live trading subscribers. And I give a couple of weeks out for gratis to my new people that want to say, give me a look at that newsletter. You can go to GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.